Today's podcast comes from online worship on Sunday the 21st of March. A warm welcome to everyone listening, and especially to those listening today by telephone. So I think that's all the wee bits and pieces I need to announce today. I'm going to begin our worship time with a reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua. Now, the topic we're looking at today is about choices, the choices that we make. And the people of Israel were faced with a choice. And this was the instructions that Joshua spoke to the people of Israel. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so as we gather together in worship, we come to serve God, we come to serve the Lord, to bring our worship, our praise and our thanksgiving. And we're just going to spend a wee bit of time in prayer, and then we've got a couple of hymns we're going to sing together as well. So let's pray together. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our time of worship as we are gathered across this town and this region, and for those listening and watching from around the world. Lord, we pray that we would all know your powerful presence with us. And we come today to focus upon you, to glorify you, Lord. Acknowledge that you are God, that you are our creator. You're the one who made the heavens and the earth. You made us in your image. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of family, for the gift of love and for friendship. We thank you for the gift of your church and for those we get to call brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for our church family spread right across this world, of all those who follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. So Lord, as we bring our worship today, we ask that our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving and praise and worship, as we are reminded of all the great things that you have done for us, that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to be our Saviour. Jesus, who gave himself up for us on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. That while Jesus took upon himself the punishment that we rightly deserve, and in exchange for that, he offers us grace, peace, and eternal life. We thank you that Jesus didn't stay in a tomb, but he rose again from the dead 3 days later, that he ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is here and with us now. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts with joy and peace as we bring our praise and as we read your word, that your Holy Spirit would make your words come alive to us, that they would speak directly into our hearts, that we would hear your voice as you challenge us, as you encourage us, and Lord, as you make your presence known to us through your word and by your Spirit. So Lord, bless us as we gather this Lord's Day. And as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now, we're going to sing a couple of hymns together, and the first is Crown Him with Many Crowns, and then 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. So wherever you're watching or listening, feel free to sing along with us.
The Lamb upon His throne, while heaven's eternal anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died to be your Savior and your matchless King through all eternity. Triumphant from the grave, who rose victorious from the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and reigns on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Visible above in beauty glorified, no angel in the sky can fully bear the sight, but downward bends His burning eye at mystery so bright. His kingdom is at hand. From pole to pole let warfare cease, and Christ rule every land. A city stands on high, His glory it displays, and there the nation's holy cry in joyful hymns of praise. Trust in Jesus, just us to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Okay, if you have a Bible handy at home, I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, and feel free to read along. If you don't, just feel free to listen as I read it. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6 and from verse 12. So Jesus and his disciples went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. And some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah. And still others claimed he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came, and on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that wherever we are watching from, wherever we are listening from, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit this very moment to fill our hearts and our minds, to enable us to hear your word, to understand it, and that we would hear your voice speaking clearly to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we delve into our topic today, next Sunday, it will be our last in our series of messages exploring Christianity. And I wanted to give an opportunity today for folks to ask questions. And it seems to me that Facebook Live is a perfect way to do that. Now, some folks posed some very good questions last week. And if you want to repost them again today, by all means. But what I was wondering, if anyone had questions that they would like to ask about any of the topics that we have covered over the past few weeks. And just as a wee reminder of what we have looked at, is we started with the gospel as the good news of Jesus. And then we looked at Jesus' identity as both God in the flesh and as the promised Messiah of the Jews. We looked at the problem of sin, then why Jesus died on the cross, the resurrection of Jesus, and then God's grace. And we also looked at the parable of the sower, and then the story of James and John and Bartimaeus the blind man last week. So if you have a question that came up for you these past few weeks, please type your question in the comment box on either Facebook or YouTube. And then at the end of my message today, I'm just going to take 5-10 minutes to try and answer some of them. I'll do my best. I may not be able to answer all of them. So while I'm talking, just feel free to type a question and I'll come back to them later today. So back to our topic today. It's about choices, the choices that we make. So an American author called Patrick Ness once said this. I'll just put the wee slide up on the screen. He said, "We are the choices that we make. We are the choices that we make." Now, that might seem obvious to all of us, but still a very profound statement. And we make choices about all sorts of things every day. And perhaps over the past few weeks, God has been prompting you to choose, to set aside doing things your way and to choose Him. Perhaps that's something that you've already done. Perhaps that's something that you're wavering on. You haven't made that choice yet. For those that were listening last week, we looked at James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, and how they made the wrong choice. They were only interested in what Jesus could do for them. They wanted power, they wanted status, and they thought Jesus could offer that to them. And they hadn't yet learned that following Jesus was really about service. That being a disciple, the word disciple literally means a learner. And they were still learning. There was still a lot they had to understand about Jesus and his mission and what it means to follow him. But on this occasion, they got it wrong. And then we're given this contrast with a man called Bartimaeus. He was a blind man who shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah and that he only wanted mercy from him. And so we were thinking through how our response should be the same as the blind man, to acknowledge Jesus as our King and Lord and to ask for mercy. And if Jesus is the Son of God, as he claimed to be, then he's not someone that we should approach flippantly, but we approach him with respect and honour as our Lord and our God. So thinking about Bartimaeus, and if we compare how he responded to Jesus and the choice that he made, and we compare that with our story that we read today about King Herod. Now, the King Herod that we're talking about here is Herod Antipas. He was the son of Herod the Great, who was the king of Judea when Christ was born in Bethlehem. And so King Herod had heard about Jesus' miracles and that many people were saying that Jesus was the prophet Elijah come back from the dead, because if you read in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah did great miracles by the power of God as well. But Herod thought that perhaps it was John the Baptist who had been resurrected and perhaps come back to haunt him. As if you know the story, King Herod had executed John the Baptist, as we read earlier. And John had been arrested for accusing King Herod of adultery with his brother's wife. And for someone who was the king of the nation, say to be the king of Israel, Herod had that title, King of the Jews, which was what was written above the cross when Jesus was crucified. King Herod was the king of the Jews. And the position that he was given was not just as a ruler, although he really couldn't rule very much because the Romans were in charge. He was really a puppet king more than anything else. But he was also seen as a spiritual leader in the land as well. He was someone that people were supposed to look up to. But King Herod had committed adultery with his brother's wife, and that's why he had John arrested, because John had challenged him about this. But despite that, we're told in verse 20 here in Mark 6 that Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. And when King Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. You know, it's interesting, because when we consider that Herod gave in to the request of his daughter and wife to have John executed, it shows the level of cowardice of this man. And we're told in verse 26, but because of his oaths and dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her, that is, his daughter. Herod was more afraid of what people would think than he was afraid of God, and he was prepared to put a good man to death rather than embarrass himself. You know, as we are faced with choices to make each day, and the choice to follow Jesus is probably the biggest choice we could ever be faced with. And as I was saying last week and a couple of weeks ago, there's a cost to being a disciple of Jesus. It may cost us some embarrassment at the very least. And if that's all that we have to worry about, then it's not very much at all. We may be humiliated by people, or people poke fun at us, or maybe people make jokes about the fact that he's become a holy Joe or whatever. That's the least that we have to worry about. But King Herod was worried about what people would think of him. And when faced with that, he chose to put a man to death. And the strange thing is, he also seems to be intrigued by Jesus. And he could have summoned Jesus to come and speak to him at any time he wanted, yet he didn't. You know, we're not told that he was aware that John was actually Jesus' cousin. But perhaps knowing that fact would have meant that Herod would keep Jesus at a safe distance. And he messed up that first chance to do the right thing. But about 3 years later, he would be given a second opportunity to put things right, to make the right choice. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, Jesus has been arrested and is sent by Pilate to King Herod for interrogation. And in verse 8, it says, "When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had wanted to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. And he plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer." If Herod had an ounce of humility, surely he would be begging Jesus for forgiveness. Forgiveness for executing his cousin John, and forgiveness for committing adultery with his brother's wife. But no, he just wanted Jesus to perform a miracle for him. He treated Jesus like some performing monkey at the circus. And Jesus' response was complete silence. He didn't say a word. So Herod had two chances that we know of in his life to change. And he missed them both. He never got another chance after this. In fact, we're told later on in the book of Acts that King Herod died a horrible death later on. He didn't get another chance to meet with Jesus. You know, God gives us opportunities at certain times in our lives to choose which way we will go. And sometimes it's only looking back in your life that you can actually see God's hand in things. I think back to my life and when I was younger and before I had made a commitment to follow Jesus, and also thinking of those times where I'd messed up and I had to repent and I had to come back to God and return to Jesus again. And thinking of those opportunities that God had given me, I could see God's hand in all of those things. And the Bible tells us very clearly that God is, it uses a word called sovereign. God is sovereign. In other words, God is king over time and circumstances. And that the choices that we make, even though they are real choices for us, that God is still at work in the background. God, we're told in the Bible, that God has chosen those who he wants to belong to him, chosen his people. How that works, I don't know. I'm not God. But when we take God's word as it is, God chooses and we have choices. And those choices are real. And we have opportunities, and those opportunities maybe come along at certain times in our lives. And God gives us opportunities to choose which way we will go. And so if God is challenging you at this moment, draw close to him. Don't miss the opportunities that God puts in your way. You may never have another day like today. So a quote from C.S. Lewis is just going to put on the screen. C.S. Lewis, the great author of the Narnia stories and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, said this. He says, "Now is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance, and it won't last forever. We must take it or leave it." I mean, how true is that statement? And then going back to the verse I read at the very beginning of our service, Joshua 24 and verse 15, where Joshua challenges the people of Israel, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But we're all faced with that choice at times in our lives, and perhaps for some watching today, today is that moment. And I challenge you to choose Jesus, to choose grace, to choose mercy, to choose God, your Creator, to serve him, to love him for the rest of your days. It's something I did at age 13 and something I've never regretted. And I know many watching today as well have also found themselves in that moment where they said yes to Jesus. So I'd encourage you to do that today. And perhaps some listening, maybe it's something you've done before. Maybe you've been away from church for a while or away from God. And perhaps for you today is an opportunity to return to Jesus, to say yes again. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to all of us today. A day of mercy. Today is a day of grace. Today is a day of opportunity. When we can step into our future, taking your hand as you lead us in the steps of Jesus and the way of eternal life. So Lord, give us courage. Give us courage to face up to our sins, to be humble, to turn away from pride that might stop us from drawing near to you. And Lord, I pray for every person listening today who has perhaps taken that step for the first time of saying yes to Jesus. Lord, just bless them today and confirm in them the hope that you place in all of our hearts. That in saying yes to Jesus, that they are completely forgiven, that they are covered and washed in the blood of Jesus, that from this day forward, if they continue in the faith, that you give them everlasting life, that they belong to you forever. And Lord, may all of us be encouraged by this message and this word today, as we are perhaps reminded of days past when we have had opportunities to turn to you and to repent. Those opportunities of grace that have come at different times in our lives. Lord, we are thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I finished a little bit earlier this Sunday because I wanted to give a little bit of opportunity for questions that folks have had or maybe come up in your mind over the past few weeks. So I'm just going to have a little look and see if anybody's typed any questions. If maybe there was something that you were thinking about and you wanted to ask, feel free to do so now. or forever hold your peace. No, I'm only kidding. If anybody has any questions, and maybe you don't want to put it in a sort of public forum, you can private message me later. So I'm just having a wee look through the messages on Facebook. I think we've got one from Helen. Do you think Jesus was dead when he was put in the tomb, or was he unconscious as no one can rise from the dead? It's a very good question. I think we can be pretty certain that Jesus was dead when he was put in the tomb, because Roman soldiers were held to a very, very high level of professionalism in their job, because if they didn't do their job, it was a death penalty. The Roman army was that brutal. So we're told in the Gospels that there was an investigation by the chief priests, because they had heard that Jesus had risen. And they had sent a delegation down to the tomb to see what had happened. They'd obviously heard that this had happened. And the soldiers were told that there was soldiers from, I think it was King Herod's court, had been sent down to check what had happened. Any soldier that had not done their job correctly would have been in big trouble. And the Roman soldiers were scared when they saw Jesus risen from the dead, when they had seen that the tomb was empty, because they realised that they would have been in trouble. And so they made sure that executions were efficient. I don't know of any cases from the ancient world where the Romans tried to execute somebody by crucifixion and they survived. I don't know of any examples of that. Plus, we have the eyewitness accounts of who were there. And also, there's the evidence of Jesus' enemies who wanted him crucified in the first place. That the Jewish leaders, if they had found evidence of a body, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we can be pretty certain they would have paraded his body in public in order to discredit his disciples and Jesus himself. There are, in Islam, they believe that that Jesus didn't die on the cross, and so the question that Helen asks there, that Jesus was just kind of unconscious and sort of revived rather than resurrected. That story in Islam comes 600 years after the Gospels were written. So when we're looking at the earliest evidence of what happened, was that Jesus was executed and he rose again from the dead. And Jesus' execution and crucifixion is also documented by some early historians, both Roman and Jewish, who were not Christians. They had no bias in that, and they had reported that Jesus had been executed, and they also name the rulers at the time, and also Caesar as well. I don't know if that maybe helps a little bit. To get a wee drink here. Any more questions? If we've got time for maybe one more. How can we encourage our family to follow Jesus? Why did he choose me? It's incredible. That's from Katie. That's an excellent question. I think to encourage someone to follow Jesus, one thing is that we can pray, because conversion of anyone, someone coming to follow Jesus, is a miracle. It's something deeply spiritual. It's not something that anyone can be coerced into doing, and we should never even try to do that. I mean, you can persuade someone, you can give someone the arguments why you believe, but no one can be a genuine follower of Jesus by coercion. It's by the Holy Spirit that a person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's a miracle, so we can certainly pray. And when there are opportunities to maybe talk about your own faith, and I suppose you really, I mean, if you know the person, if it's a family member, you know them well, and maybe you will know better than anyone else whether you need to tread gently with somebody or whether you can perhaps be more direct. If someone is ready to maybe read a gospel, just not a whole Bible, but just a gospel about the life of Jesus, perhaps, you know, give them that if they're a reader. Perhaps direct them to some videos if they're not a reader and maybe they watch TV. There's some videos that may be helpful in finding out about the life of Jesus. The Christianity Explored website is an excellent resource to direct somebody to, which I've actually put the link to that in the description on Facebook, and I'll put it on YouTube later on as well. There's lots of interesting videos on there. There's lots of stories about how lots of different people from different backgrounds have come to faith. You know, you've got people from that perhaps come from a different faith, people who were atheists, people who were brought up in the church and then left and then came back to faith. So that's a really good resource to point people to. So thanks very much for that question. Why did God choose me? None of us, I think, really know the answer to that. That in the Bible we're told that God's choice is always by his grace. It's not because of anything in us. It's entirely of God's grace. And I think what one way somebody described it to me, which I thought was very helpful, and it was somebody who described the sort of, imagine the pearly gates or the gates of heaven. And as they walked through the gates of heaven, across there was an archway, and there was words written over the arch, and it said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Some of you might know that hymn, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And when you walk through the archway and you look back the way from heaven, you see something else written on the other side. And it's from Ephesians, "chosen before the foundation of the world." So the Bible holds these two things in tension, that we are both chosen by God and that we have opportunities to choose him. And how that works, I have no idea. But if God is God, God is creator, he's not limited by time. He's not limited by the physical constraints of this world. And so God can both choose and offer us choices, and there's no dilemma in that for God. But it's something that our human minds just can't get round at all. I hope that helps a wee bit. So I think all our questions have dried up now. But thank you for asking all of those questions today. And if anybody still has some questions, feel free to shoot me a message later on. So I'm just going to ask God's blessing upon you all and let you go your way, get your lunch and enjoy this beautiful sunny day as well. For anybody that wants to hop onto Zoom, I'm just going to grab a coffee and we've got a Zoom call after the service. There's a wee link to that as well in the Facebook message. Okay. Now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen. So take care, everyone, and we'll be here at the same time next Sunday. And there was something else I meant to say, and that is that the clocks, I believe, are going forward next Sunday. So if you forget, you'll maybe miss the live stream, but we'll be here at 12 noon as usual. So take care. Bye-bye.